You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Good morning. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to our new show, sponsored by the Office of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. I am Beth Jennings White, the new director.
And I'm Darius Villalobos.
Darius's voice may sound familiar to many of you. Darius was the director of young adult ministry for the Archdiocese for several years, and he has now moved over to the Office of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship to work as a part of our team. We are your hosts this morning for this new monthly segment.
Today we're going to talk about evangelization through the lens of large happenings in our world, the Olympics and World Youth Day. But before we welcome our guests, we thought we'd talk about our new office and what exactly we mean by evangelization and missionary discipleship.
Thanks. Evangelization is quite simply finding ways to communicate Jesus wherever we are and with whomever we are with. To share, as Pope Francis calls it, the fundamental message, the personal love of God who became man, who gave himself up for us, who is living, and who offers us his salvation and his friendship. This is where missionary discipleship comes in. Through our baptism, we are disciples of Christ, and we are missioned to go share what we have received with others. Yes, we need to be witnesses in our way of being in the world, through our actions and how we encounter others, but we also need to share our experience of Christ with one another. We are to be missionary disciples, to go forth and share the good news. One of my favorite quotes from The Joy of the Gospel is this: "In your heart, you know that it is not the same to live without him," meaning Christ. What you have come to realize, what has helped you to live and given you hope, is what you also need to communicate to others. This is a great summary of what it means to be a missionary disciple. So we look forward to finding ways to highlight on this show ways in which evangelization and missionary discipleship are working in our parishes, in our and other dioceses, and in the world around us.
Yes, Beth and I have been both watching the Olympics through the lens of evangelization. There's been a fair amount of press, at least in the Catholic circles, about two gold medalists who are Catholic. Katie Ledecky, the amazing long-distance swimmer who won four gold medals and one silver medal. We also have Simone Biles, who is an incredible gymnast, and as we're taping the show on Tuesday, has three gold and one bronze, and hopefully has added one more gold medal to her long list of accomplishments this summer.
Yes, and it's amazing to read these articles in which Simone Biles speaks of her carrying the rosary to Rio with her, the one that her mother gave her, and that she only takes one day off a week, Darius, from gymnastics, which is insane, and she, which is Sunday, and she says that she never misses Mass.
You know, and Katie Ledecky, amazing young woman who actually got to go visit the nuns from the school that she was at to share the excitement and the joy of those gold medals. One of the nuns actually had this great quote about her. Katie is so grounded in her faith and supported by a really loving family and community. She's an amazing young woman who happens to swim. And what a great way to define, to be defined as a person. She's a wonderful young woman first. And then she's also a swimmer. And it's so easy to have those accolades be the most important thing. But the truth is, it's who we are first as sons and daughters of God, made in God's image. That becomes the most important thing in our lives. And then everything else is a bonus. Everything else is a gift from God. You know, it's so great, too, that while we talk about this wonderful experience that is an international celebration in the Olympics, we also have just had our big Catholic gathering of young people from all over the world, sort of our own version of the Olympics, World Youth Day, which was just a couple weeks ago in Krakow, Poland. World Youth Day 2016 was a very exciting and very busy time. And so we're really blessed to have a couple of wonderful young people who are going to talk about their experience as well.
Yes, we have Melissa McGlynn from St. Genevieve Parish in Chicago and Kent Lederbach from St. Mary of Vernon Hills, also here in Illinois. And of course, Darius was also headed up that group who went over to Krakow. And they're going to share with us some of their experiences over at World Youth Day.
Melissa, how are you doing this morning?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
Good. And Kent, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good. So glad that you guys can join us this morning. And it's been a couple of weeks. Have you guys fully recovered from the pilgrimage and rigors of World Youth Day?
I think I'm still mentally unpacking from time to time. But yes, physically unpacking. My feet are not swollen. My blisters have healed. Definitely ready and, of course, back in the real world.
How about for you, Kent?
Yeah, it took about a week to kind of physically kind of heal up and finally get recharged from the trip. And to Melissa's point, yeah, still kind of unpacking all the great things that happened during the course of our 10 days in Poland.
So Melissa and Kent, just a couple introductory points. Will you just let us know, I mentioned what parishes you're with, but what ministries are you involved in and what drew you to go to World Youth Day? So Melissa, you can start.
Okay, thank you. I am very involved in my parish in different ministries. Some of the more time-consuming, my bigger, more important ministries, I do lead a youth group at my church. I'm on pastoral council, and I teach CCD on Saturdays during the school year. And actually, because of those ministries, I really felt it was really important to experience a World Youth Day. I had actually, since I began leading youth group in about 7 years ago, we had always talked about it, talked about going, getting a group together, but they were rather young at the time, and I didn't feel completely prepared to bring the younger teens in my group to just the massive event that is World Youth Day. So we postponed for Madrid and then Rio, and I felt I just need to go experience it first, and then maybe I can go ahead and bring them along. So I went this year just to kind of get an idea of what it's like, and of course to bring that experience back to lead my youth group better, to be more invigorated, to talk about mercy and understand mercy better, and of course different ministries as well with teaching CCD and just the experience for pastoral council, to know what it means to be a missionary disciple and how I can bring that to the table during meetings.
Nice. Ken, how about for you?
So my two ministries that I'm very involved in is the parish council at St. Mary Vernon, and probably more importantly, Young Adult Ministry Lake County. I help lead that group. It was some of my experiences within Young Adult Ministry that kind of brought me into thinking about going to World Youth Day. Just understanding that World Youth Day is not necessarily for youth as maybe as we defined it in America. It's really youth and young adults. I kind of, when I was thinking about it, wanted to see the Pope. That was a big draw. But I think what really sold me on going to World Youth Day was the opportunity to experience the universal church. I think that most people experience the church really only in their parish setting or community, and typically only with the same kind of couple hundred, maybe 1,000 people over and over again. And I think this was an opportunity to really kind of broaden my horizons and to experience the church and that the universal aspect of your church, of our church, as you have people from six continents represented all in one city.
We're really looking forward to talking a little bit more about your experience in Poland and in World Youth Day. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back here on the Catholic Community of Faith.
Enjoy art, music, and more at Catholic Charities Gala of the Arts on Friday, September 9th at Navy Pier. This year's Swinging Gala features an exquisite art show and sale, silent auction, and grand raffle. We'll have a live tribute to the music of the Rat Pack, performed by Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra, with a special performance by Ron Hawking. Tickets start at $250, and proceeds benefit Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Department. Register online at galaofthearts.com or call 312-655-7290. That's galaofthearts.com or call 312-655-7290.
The word made clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Melissa and Kent and Darius, my co-host, who have just gotten back from World Youth Day. We're having a conversation with them about their experience through the lens of evangelization and missionary discipleship. So I wanted to ask the three of you, so we know why you went now. We know that Darius went because he sort of ran the young adult office here. What was your favorite moment over there? And on what was the most challenging moment that each of you had? How about we start with you, Kent?
My favorite moment was definitely at the vigil site when we were all praying with Pope Francis, and we're all holding candles, and you kind of look out, and you just see this, like, vast sea of candles, and you know that each candle you see is a person from a different country, and it was a beautiful moment. It was a very, like, quiet and sincere moment, and it also, like, you realize that each one of us is here specifically because of Jesus Christ, and it's just a very powerful and moving moment for me. And then the most challenging moment was probably getting to the vigil site. We had about a 9-mile walk from our lodging to the vigil site.
Wow!
And we walked during the middle of the day. It was hot. We were just exhausted from the previous kind of week of pilgrimage activities and all the walking we had done for that. And we had lots of gear with us because you sleep overnight at the vigil site and you need all your stuff for Saturday at the vigil and then Saturday night to sleep in and then on Sunday for Mass. So, like, you have a lot of gear with you. It ended up being like a 6.5-7 hour journey from our lodging to our site for the vigil, and it was a there's some suffering in that. You know, I think people sometimes confuse pilgrimage with vacation, and they're two very different things, right? And so, you know, at the pilgrimage, there are incredible spiritual highs, and there's some real physical suffering in there. And that nine mile walk with the group was probably one of the most difficult moments of the whole trip.
But was it worth it?
Absolutely. You know, the body heals, but, you know, and a week later, like, my body's back to normal, and I will have the memories for the rest of my life.
That's great. Melissa, how about you?
That was good. I could definitely, I'll actually go ahead and start with challenging, because we agree. The most challenging part was the walk to the vigil. And I think just most definitely the last 45 minutes, at one point with the heat and the just exhaustion for the past previous days, and you think you're done. You're like at the end of this grassy point, and then there's, you know, some rocks ahead of you. I thought that was a brief line. It was about 45 more minutes of walking in the gravel. And we all chose to go to World Youth Day for various reasons, but I think that last 45 minutes was like my come-to-Jesus moment. I was so weak and so tired, and at moments I was just crying. I had my sunglasses on, so I pray no one saw me. But I felt as though that had to be just a small, teeny-tiny portion of just relevance to Christ's walk to Calvary. And that's all I kept picturing. And while I was walking, and of course this had, you know, just a small portion of his pain and exhaustion, but that was the definitely most challenging part, but again, definitely worth it. And to kind of add to my most, I guess, rewarding part was bonding with the group that we created. Many of us had never met before, but actually Kent and I led a small group of pilgrims while we were there, and I had never been to Poland. I didn't know their transit system or things to do or where to go, but they kind of trusted us along the way, and that trust felt very good, and the relationships that kind of came out of the bonding and the connecting and the getting lost and our feet hurting and some of the complaining. So I love the group that we led and we were able to bond with.
That's great. And how about you, Darius?
Well, it's funny, you guys talked about the experience getting to the vigil site. I'm going to say my most challenging moment was the walk back, which was just about as long, if not longer. But we were also blessed with torrential downpour throughout most of the walk back as well. And I actually got to walk with both Kent and Melissa's group. And there was just moments along the way where I was like, this is never going to end. We are never going to make it back to our hotel. But in a lot of ways, too, it was my favorite. That experience of walking out of the vigil site with almost 2 million, if not more, pilgrims, being on this journey and seeing so many pilgrims along the way from all these different countries, speaking all these different languages, but the joy that everybody had experienced of being part of that Mass with the Holy Father together, seeing young people from all over the world just there because of their faith in Jesus Christ, it made it bearable despite the exhaustion and the physical pain and that connection that was very visible there for all of us. It was the hardest part, but it was also the best part of the experience. And I'm glad we were able to do that walk together. And I'm mostly glad that we finally made it back to the hotel, because I was not quite sure if that was going to happen that day. My favorite part was finding ourselves on the train, finally feeling like, oh, we're almost there. And then the train went in a different direction than it was supposed to. And then we were like, I feel like we're starting this all over again, but it was great. And, yeah, definitely was a blessed film moment.
So the three of you are watching the Olympics through very different eyes when you hear about their grueling bodies and the exercise that they go through and all the pain they're in, right? So you can say you had your own Olympics.
Oh, absolutely. I think I definitely lost a couple of pounds along the way. Some of those I will probably never get back, mostly because...
Which is good.
Yeah, the physical toll on my feet is something I will I have a new appreciation for those long distance runners and those sprinters, because I was complaining about like a little pebble in my shoe and having to walk for a couple of hours. I can't imagine doing that for, you know, training every day, 8, 9 miles, 10 miles a day. It's amazing to think about the stamina and the endurance people have to do that.
So if we're looking through the lens of evangelization, which is what we're trying to do today, next up, when we come back from break, I want the all three of you to consider where you found Christ, where you encountered Christ in your pilgrimage. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Catholic Charities is hosting free community health fairs this summer to help connect people in need with medical services. Hello, I'm Monsignor Mike Boland, President of Catholic Charities. Medical professionals will provide free medical and dental screenings to all who attend these health fairs, including back-to-school physicals for children. No ID is required to attend. For more information on all the health fairs, call 312-655-7441 or visit catholiccharities.net/healthfairs. Our next health fair is scheduled for Tuesday, August 23rd at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish Hall, 4521 South Ashland Avenue in Chicago. Again, for more information, call 312-655-7441 or visit catholiccharities.net/healthfairs.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago, featuring a conversation with Archbishop Blaise Zupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
During the next half hour, we'll revisit World Youth Day in Krakow, Poland, and hear from Archbishop Blaise Zupich about his personal experiences. We'll show you how outdoor block masses bring vitality to a little village parish. And a Southside Elementary School says thank you to the men and women who help keep them safe.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, we're back. We're speaking this morning with Melissa and Kent and Darius, three pilgrims from the Archdiocese of Chicago who went to World Youth Day. So before we left for break, I asked the question of where you felt Christ's presence or how you encountered Christ during your pilgrimage. You want to share a little bit of that with us? How about we start with Melissa?
Of course. I think already mentioned definitely the walk and just feeling the presence of Christ with me through the pain and the exhaustion and all that. But definitely through the bonds as well. Pope Francis at one point, I believe on Thursday, mentioned that what a better opportunity to renew our friendship with Jesus than by building friendships among ourselves, basically speaking to the youth and young adults present. So I definitely feel that Christ brought us together for many different reasons, just the young adults that we met along the way that joined our small group, either from the very beginning or kind of just straggling in as the time went on and our group got bigger and bigger. But I'm definitely blessed with the friendships that I made and the people I met, and even still check in with them from time to time since we've been back, letting them know or kind of just checking in on if their feet have got, you know, stopped swelling, if the pain has ceased since then, and just different things like that. And for many of us, we came from Chicago and went there, and we've all come home to the same space. We did have actually some pilgrims from California that, of course, they're doing their own thing now, but most of the people in our group we do keep in contact with.
So, Melissa, remind us, when did you return to the United States?
It was Tuesday night after World Youth Day and the Mass with Pope Francis.
So it's been about 2 weeks?
It has been, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
And how about you, Kent? How have you, where did you experience Christ during your time at World Youth Day?
So I definitely agree with Melissa, but another way that I felt the presence of Christ was definitely in the crowd and how there are people from very different countries, right? And various mm-hmm. countries, and some of these countries have call it like really bitter rivalries with each other. Some of them have huge like wars between them, or just tragic history or immense cultural divides. And you think in a setting like that, where you have so many ingredients to build up tension and conflict, like you'd think there would be some of that. But instead, you had these people who were like fiercely pride of their country, but still had this higher purpose or this higher calling to unity with Christ. And unity with everyone around them who might be from countries that in a normal day they wouldn't be able to stand, or they would have some kind of fierce rivalry with. But instead, when you're World Youth Day, they're united to each other because of like the power and witness of Christ. And so I think that's one way I experienced his presence, was just the unified effect that we, like, all these people had from World Youth Day, from all these different countries and regions, and it was a spectacular sight and a great moment to witness.
So, Kent, do you have any specific other than the large scale? Did you see anything on a smaller scale?
The opportunity to build those bonds of relationship and friendship with the small group that I was with. I spent the vast majority of my time with my small group, and just like walking with them, getting to know them, figuring out kind of where they were in their faith journey, and being able to walk with them as they walk with me was certainly another way that I experienced his presence.
Great. So, Darius, could you remind us just a little bit about how many people came from the Archdiocese?
So in our group from the diocese, we had about 120 who traveled together. We were staying in the same accommodations, broke up into smaller groups. Total from the Archdiocese of Chicago, we had probably over 500 people who attended, though. We have such a large Polish community here, so a lot of people went on their own.
Yeah.
They stayed with family or
mm-hmm.
friends, and then participated in the World Youth Day events. From the international level, we had for the vigil on Sunday with the Holy Father, the numbers were over 2.2 million people
wow.
attended. And if you think about that, I mean, that's just an unbelievable crowd to think of everyone coming together to celebrate the Eucharist
yeah.
all together. Wow. It was just a overwhelming feeling of being, you know, so small in a sea of something so big, but to recognize that. That's who we are as church. When we say we're Catholic and universal, that's a pretty big, big community to be a part of. And so it was humbling and at the same time very energizing.
Hmm. So the three of you, what was it? Pope Francis, of course, is always the big draw. So was there anything in particular that surprised you or resonated with you or challenged you in his talks along the way? Kent, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the things that really resonated with me is that Pope Francis said something to the effect of, the gift of faith is not a comfortable couch to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of faith is a pair of walking boots. And you need to use those boots to go out into the world, to meet people, to encounter them, and to walk with them, and to journey with them. I think that nowadays, it's like really easy to sit on your couch, watch some Netflix, and not take the call to be a missionary disciple very seriously. You can't be a missionary disciple if you never leave your apartment or if you never leave your house. Like, you have to take this gift of faith and use it, and you use it by walking with people and meeting them and encountering them and accompanying them. I think that's something that Pope Francis said that just really resonated with me.
That's great. It's time for another break, so we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few minutes to continue this conversation.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to catholiccharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m., 930 a.m., and 1270 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to our new show from the Office of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. Once again, I'm Beth Jennings White, the director.
And I'm Darius Villalobos.
And we are talking with two additional pilgrims other than Darius, Melissa and Kent. The three of them went to World Youth Day. Kent, before our break, you were speaking about Pope Francis and about that we have a gift of faith, and it's walking boots, and it's about being a missionary disciple. I just want to ask you about a follow-up question to that. How are you going to take your experience of World Youth Day and bring it back to your home? Now, I understand you may not have decided that completely yet, but in general, it's only been 2 weeks. But how are you going to put your boots on the ground and bring what you learned there to the Archdiocese of Chicago?
Yeah, so I think the biggest way that I can kind of get the boots on the ground is to continue this work with young adult ministry, and in particular, like, find young adults who are maybe strayed from the church a little bit and start to get to know them, to build that relationship, to start walking with them and see if, you know, together we can get on the path back to the church. I think in my experience with young adult ministry, we have a lot of people who kind of come in for an event or two who for whatever reason, have left the church. And for whatever reason, they're kind of curious again and just trying to help show those people the path back to the church and back into the life and fullness of the Catholic faith.
Did you find that this World Youth Day adventure reinvigorated you?
Absolutely. It's on the small scale, it's always empowering to meet people in my small group who have the same love for Christ and for the Catholic Church, and sharing that love with someone can definitely kind of boost your spirits and invigorate you again, or help recharge those batteries. And then on a large scale, just to see, 2.2 million people coming together just to celebrate Jesus Christ, like, how can you not feel energized by that many people all coming together for the same thing?
I don't know. So, Melissa, I'm going to just shift back to you and ask you that original question about Pope Francis. What was it that resonated with you or surprised you or challenged you during his talk or talks?
Thank you. First off, I think Pope Francis just in himself is an excellent draw to the Catholic Church. And when I mentioned that kind of in my workplace, where I was going and what I was doing, they're like, even, Catholic, non-Catholic, other faith, no faith, they were just saying, like, Pope Francis, like, that guy's, pretty cool. He's doing some cool things for the church. And, of course, I couldn't agree more. But I think this was also Thursday where he mentioned the contagious joy of the gospel and striving to bring that kind of back with us to our own lives and to all kinds of painful and difficult situations. And what was a little surprising to me was we're bringing joy to painful situations. And a lot of times, painful situations, family problems, relationships, deaths in families, doubts, violence in the city, I mean, it could take a toll on our faith. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely re-energizing on my mission in my community. I'm pretty active in my community, outside of my church and, of course, inside of my church, and with the youth and young adults that I do minister to. They at times go through some pretty painful and discouraging, and sometimes we just brush it off as adults, and even adults older than I can kind of brush it off as, oh, you'll get over it, I've been there too. But in the moment, these youth and young adults, these teenagers I work with, a small situation can be their entire life.
Right.
So it's definitely challenged me to be better in the ministry, and also to look at just difficult situations as a whole, how we can be better ministers to, even by sending, like having my youth group write letters to people in jail, letting them know that Christ exists even in their lives and that people love them on the outside and they're being prayed for. Sometimes just telling someone they're being prayed for is all the encouragement they need to have strength and motivation to continue on their journeys.
And Darius, would you like to add to that?
One of the things that just struck me about the theme for this World Youth Day being that beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, has really touched a lot of people within this context of this Jubilee Year of Mercy. I think what Pope Francis was really intentionally trying to do is to invite all of us, but especially young people at World Youth Day, to recognize that we have been blessed with Christ's mercy in our lives. We have been blessed that God loves us so much, sacrifices so much for us, and we're not deserving of it, but the joy that we should have that we receive it is contagious and is something that we need to share. And I felt it was really affirming to know that he chose the theme for World Youth Day 2016, even before we were talking about this Jubilee of Mercy. You can tell that this was something that was really important to him, important to the church. And I thought it was really beautiful that throughout this whole week, people got to really reflect on that. Every pilgrim had an opportunity to go to the Divine Mercy Sanctuary, St. Faustina's home, and also the place where, the Divine Mercy chaplet and all of that originated from, that devotion to Divine Mercy. And so it seems so appropriate that this theme that Pope Francis has really wanted us all to focus on as a universal church really came home for so many young people that past week. And he tied that into all of his talks and addresses. He tied that into his conversations with the priest as well. And so for me, that message is still just resonating with me and is so powerful. How can we have that love of God expressed through mercy shared with other people?
Thank you. So it's time for another break. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to continue our conversation.
Catholic Charities is hosting free community health fairs this summer to help connect people in need with medical services. Hello, I'm Monsignor Mike Boland, President of Catholic Charities. Medical professionals will provide free medical and dental screenings to all who attend these health fairs, including back-to-school physicals for children. No ID is required to attend. For more information on all the health fairs, call 312-655-7441 or visit catholiccharities.net/healthfairs. Our next health fair is scheduled for Tuesday, August 23rd at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish Hall, 4521 South Ashland Avenue in Chicago. Again, for more information, call 312-655-7441 or visit catholiccharities.net/healthfairs.
All right, everybody, let's pray the rosary.
Don't forget to say grace.
We have to do what God wants us to do.
My mom laid the foundations for me to discover God.
How does this bring you closer to God?
The path to holiness is in doing God's will.
If you are called to be a priest, that's how you will be fulfilled.
My mom helped me get through difficulties in my discernment.
Think of the big picture. Keep things in perspective. Are you praying?
My mom played a huge role in my journey to the priesthood.
She still does.
Our moms nurture our vocations.
Without my mom being who she is, there's no chance I'd have entered the seminary.
My mom says she had a feeling I would be a priest.
To hear the call of God, we need to be in a position to hear it.
Hearing God starts at home, with the family.
Thank you, Mom.
I would not be at the seminary if it wasn't for you.
Our seminarians were encouraged by their parents to discover God's call in their lives. Do you encourage your son? St. Joseph College Seminary, the best place to discern. For more information, visit cometojoseph.org.
Hi, welcome back to our show about evangelization and missionary discipleship. We are having a conversation with some of our participants from World Youth Day.
We want to thank Kent Lederbach for joining us from St. Thomas of Villanova. He was kind enough to join us on the show and share a little bit about his World Youth Day experience. Melissa is still with us and talking about her experience. For you, the same question. How are you planning on bringing this back into your everyday life here in Chicago, and especially here at your parish at St. Genevieve, that call to missionary discipleship?
I think definitely, like I mentioned a little bit ago, working with the youth and young adults a little bit better. We don't necessarily have a young adult ministry group per se, but they're definitely present in church and at Mass. And just one thing in particular I've been speaking about with the youth group that we actually met last week, actually the first time since getting back from World Youth Day, is that how can we kind of recruit better? We've been bigger, we've been smaller, but it's kind of a relatively small group right now of teenagers and young adults. So where are we missing the opportunity to speak to teenagers and young adults in the church? And then sometimes even, you know, if we are at the park or they play soccer across the street from our houses, how can we be more confident in talking about Christ and bringing others to Christ? So that's definitely shifted a little bit.
How many from your youth group went on the trip?
Actually, it was just myself and my oldest member. She's been with me almost since the beginning, about 6 years, and Michelle.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And I guess just since then, there's definitely been the interest to go as soon as Pope Francis announced Panama in 2019. our small group was like, yes, we're definitely going. But I get back, and they're like, we want to come too. And so even though I said it was really hard and it was a lot of walking and all of these different things, they're like, nope, we're going with you. So
well, you came back a whole person. So
yes.
You know.
Yes,
you
I survived. Did. Survived. Yep.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to the two of you a little bit. So we talked a lot about the big mass and the very difficult journey there and back. But around the World Youth Day, there was a lot of other things that happened. There were catechetical moments. People arrived at different times. So I just wanted to ask the two of you, we'll start with Darius, just about some of your small group sessions that I know were led by bishops, and even Archbishop Supich was there.
Yes, the catechetical sessions are sort of a unique opportunity for young people to interact with bishops from all over the world. And we were really blessed to be assigned to a couple of parishes, but also kind of wandered off on our own to go visit some of our local bishops. Archbishop Supich actually did a special gathering with a few of our auxiliaries just for the Chicago group. And it was a really wonderful experience to interact with the Archbishop. He talked a little bit about some of the things going on here locally with Renew My Church and this process of renewing and revitalizing our parishes. But we got to also do a Q&A session with him and the auxiliary bishops, and all topics were open for discussion. So it was really fun to ask, big questions about our faith, but also those personal questions as, you know, why did they feel called to become priest, and why did they feel like, you know, this was something that God wanted to them to do, but also why was this something they thought they might be good at? And we also talked about some of the challenges of answering the call to that vocation. But these are really wonderful men. A shout out to Bishop Manns, Bishop Rassus, and Bishop Rojas for spending that time with us. They were really generous and also really funny with some of their responses. But I think it was really good for all of the young people there to just get to talk to these bishops. We don't get a lot of opportunities to meet with them outside of the confirmations that they do throughout the year. And they were really joyous and really enjoying the experience as well.
Melissa, would you agree? What was your take on these small group sessions?
It was definitely surprising. I wasn't completely prepared for just the talks and some of the discussion topics. I enjoyed being with the bishops and Archbishop Supich. That was a lot of fun, from the dinner to the kind of more one-on-one, the question and answer session. But I think it was the last, and I haven't really thought about these too much since we got back, but I think it was the last session with... he's a bishop from, I want to say, New York, and Kent would correct me on his name all the time, but I think it was Bishop Capagiano. Yes, of course, corrected again. but he spoke about, at one point, that the gifts from Jesus, and one of the last gifts Jesus gave us, is that we are his body, and that kind of course, connected to a gospel where they talk about we're the hands and the eyes, and you can't have one without the other, or one not working properly. And so kind of bringing that back with me as well, that sometimes I lose the motivation to continue church work and being a disciple and a missionary disciple, that it's a lot of work attached to that very brief title, but that the church can't work without me, and nor can I work without my church family and my family and the friends that I'm making along the way. So that one, I kind of stuck out, of course. And I could talk a little bit more about that, but I don't know. That definitely just sums it up, like why I thought that one was awesome.
Well, that's perfect, Melissa. We're ready for another break. So we will come back and continue our conversation after this short break.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago, featuring a conversation with Archbishop Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
During the next half hour, we'll revisit World Youth Day in Krakow, Poland, and hear from Archbishop Blaise Supich about his personal experiences. We'll show you how outdoor block masses bring vitality to a little village parish. And a Southside Elementary School says thank you to the men and women who help keep them safe.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Enjoy art, music, and more at Catholic Charities Gala of the Arts on Friday, September 9th at Navy Pier. This year's swinging gala features an exquisite art show and sale, silent auction, and grand raffle. We'll have a live tribute to the music of the Rat Pack, performed by Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra, with a special performance by Ron Hawking. Tickets start at $250, and proceeds benefit Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Department. Register online at galaofthearts.com or call 312-655-7290. That's galaofthearts.com or call 312-655-7290.
Welcome back. We are discussing with Melissa and with Darius their trip to World Youth Day. Melissa, just to follow up on your comment there about the small group sessions, it sounds like that message from the bishop from New York, that I'm not going to repeat his name, he touched something with you. And so what do you think that the experience, your pilgrimage, how did that pilgrimage strengthen your personal relationship with Christ?
I think it was definitely like a wake-up call, a reminder on my mission. It is, like I said, it's sometimes really tiring, but I have just an amazing support system at my church. My pastor is amazing, my pastoral council members, fellow members that I've literally known since I was a teeny tiny altar server at Jen's, my family, of course. People that I'm just meeting at work and having conversations about Christ, like, they're also my motivation. I don't have to necessarily experience this grand, massive million-plus people to be inspired and kind of get that motivation and encouragement to continue my mission of working with youth, young adults, different people in my church and parish and community.
It's interesting you spoke about people at work and different places. So our office is about evangelization and about, I think Kent was saying, about putting the boots on the ground and going out into the world. So it sounds like you do that.
I try.
Yeah, you know, it's a little scary for people. So how do you do that? How do you, does the conversation just start with that person, or how does that work?
I think sometimes it just starts with people knowing that I'm Catholic, which isn't it's not an outward thing. I don't, like, wear it on my sleeve. And, you know, of course, there's, you know, a cross around my neck or something like that. But to mention I'm going to church or I'm on this radio show today opens up that, so what is the Catholic Church like? Or what can you tell me about your faith? And actually, one of my best friends currently at work, we spoke about church, I don't even know how long ago, but he's actually visited my church with me. We've gone to breakfast at the church just to further talk about the gospel and what it meant, what I think it meant, what it might mean, things like that. So I think it's one, it's having confidence in what you believe and what you talk about. A lot of my job is actually public speaking, and the better I know the material, the more confident I am in what I'm saying, the better it comes out. So I think this helped in that way too, just kind of confirm, make me more confident in the faith so I can hopefully evangelize better.
Great. No, that's perfect. That's wonderful.
Yep.
And Darius, can I ask you the question about your experience and how it strengthened your relationship with Christ?
Well, for me, I think the being a leader in organizing something like this for the last couple of years, there's so many things that you recognize you just don't have control over. And especially in pilgrimage, there's only so many things that you can really get a handle of. And at some point, you just have to trust and have faith. And I think for me, the lesson learned from this experience is I really just need to trust God and trust in God's plan and put my hands in his and let him kind of work through me. There were so many moments where, you know, we thought it was going to go exactly this way. And then within the first 5 minutes, the whole plan just had to get thrown out the door. And when that happens, you know, you can panic, you could try and grab control of things, or you can pray. And there were a lot of moments where I just had to pray, and God provided. And despite all of those challenges, all of those moments where I felt like everything was going wrong, everything went right, at least the way that God needed it to go, which was probably very different than the way I thought it should go. And so, yeah, for me, it was definitely a moment of reconnecting and recommitting to trusting in God's plan, and being okay sometimes that God's plans are not my plans. And thank God for that.
Melissa, as we're kind of winding down here, is there anything else that you want everyone to know about your experience at World Youth Day that we didn't talk about?
I think just the accolades to the leaders. So Darius and Anna and Pablo and Elaine from the Young Adult Ministry office, or the previous office, they mentioned that, or Darius just mentioned that, things don't always go their way, but they handled the entire trip from beginning to end. I actually kind of saw some of that process beforehand and kind of coming back after with the most grace possible. So I don't think any four people brought together could have done it better.
That was great.
Thank you, Melissa. It was a very big honor and a privilege to serve you guys, and grateful we had the opportunity to do it.
And we're so thankful that you, the three of you, Kent had to leave us a little bit ago, were able to share your experience with us. Darius, is there anything, any little secret from the trip that you want to share with us from a leader, or anything that we should know about or not know about?
The one thing I would definitely mention to anybody who's planning on going on pilgrimage is make sure you get really comfortable shoes, because you don't know when you're just going to have to walk the entire mile walk of a what you thought was going to be a train ride or a quick bus ride. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. And it's really, you know, you come prepared and be flexible. We definitely were flexible along the way. But Poland's a beautiful place. We're so grateful that we got to be in that setting for the pilgrimage. And so enjoy it, even with all the bumps and bruises along the way. The experience itself was once in a lifetime, and I think anybody who went would probably say the same.
So, Melissa, Panama 2019?
Of course. I'm there.
Because, you know, they're asking the Olympians 2020, right?
Yes.
Are you going to be there, Michael Phelps? So you going to be there, Melissa?
Of course. 100%. I'm there.
Darius?
That's the plan. Absolutely. God willing, we will definitely be spending some time in Panama City in 2019.
You guys have made me want to go, except for the walk part. But
you can do it.
I could do it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Melissa, for taking the time out of your day to have a conversation with us about your experience. We wish you the best, many blessings as you bring your experience. It unfolds, the Spirit moves through you and your community. You bring all that, your gifts and all that you learn from World Youth Day back to your community. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks again to Kent Lederbach from Vernon Hills, St. Mary's of Vernon Parish, for sharing his experiences with us as well. And to all of the pilgrims who journeyed with us, it was a real gift and pleasure to serve you and to be on that journey with you.
And thank you for spending your morning with us. We're going to be here every third Wednesday of the month, and we hope that you will enjoy our conversation about evangelization and missionary discipleship, looking at different ministries, different parishes, different things happening in our world through the lens of evangelization.
And keep in mind, too, that we are all called to be evangelizers. We are all called to be missionaries in this journey. And so we look forward to continuing these conversations and hopefully including you in these conversations about how you are able to share the good news of Christ's love and presence in your life with others, whether that's in your parish, at your work, in your schools, wherever you go. How can we share this good news? So we really appreciate all of the ways that we get to interact and serve you here at the diocese. And we look forward to continuing to do that service in a new and special way in our newly formed and newly arranged Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship.
Yes, and thank you. We're very excited, and we're going to look forward to hearing your ideas and, as you said, Darius, hearing your voices.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org and clicking on Radio TV.